So good morning, everybody. Welcome to Turning Towards Life. It's 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning here in London. Lizzie and I are here for week. Oh, I checked this a moment ago and I've completely forgotten. 38. I think this is our 38th episode of the Third Space Coaching Turning Towards Life project. And we are delighted to be doing this yet again on a beautiful June summer's morning here in London. So thank you everybody for joining us, whether you're here live, whether you're watching us later. We know that many people do that. And we're going to be talking about action and responsibility this week.
Morning everybody. I went to see Lionel Richie last night, so I had a really late night and it was a lot of fun. And his encore was all night long and the whole place went completely wild. It was at Sussex Cricket Ground in the UK, where it's there were all these amazing flats surrounding it. So there were all these people on balconies who just got this lovely free concert in their back garden kind of thing. And hundreds of, I think there were like 10,000 people there or something. It was really completely open air, a lovely sunny evening. And Lionel Richie was extraordinary. And it was a birthday present for my sister. We went together and drove down there and then drove back. So I got back really late. And then I slept in a room with four, me being the fourth one. So four of us in a room, three children, 2 7-year-olds and an 11-year-old and me in this room. So I woken up slightly kind of bedraggled this morning, but very, very glad to be here and to be in the aliveness of this conversation that Justin and I never prepare for. And the way we prepare is that one of us finds a source and then we read it maybe a little bit before, but we don't talk about it together, we just show up. So that's what's happening this morning, and I'm feeling grateful for that kind of glowing feeling of having had a really lovely thing happen in my life. And there's a bit of background noise, by the way, and I'm sorry for that. There's the children are still bolting around and they're just about to go to their summer fair, so I'm sorry if you can hear a bit of background. So I'm going to read first and then Justin's going to read. So this is practicing radical self-responsibility, note to selves. I can only speak for myself. I can only change myself. There are some things about myself that I cannot change. They are aspects of who I am. I need to learn to accept and love all aspects of who I am, and I am not who I think I am. I am everything and responsible for every little thing I am. Intentions matter, and I'm fully responsible for all of the impact I create. Without consciousness, there is no choice. Responsibility is complete. Whether actions or impacts flow from conscious or unconscious action, non-action, choosing unconsciousness, knowing it is a root source from which harm flows, has specific consequences. Cultivating consciousness requires healing, support, great courage and spiritual discipline. Self-harm, isolation, shame and regret perpetuate the cycles of harm and prevent healing, repair and restoration. Dare to be free. Shame and silence are the most harmful forces in the multiverse. Harm flows from the shadows we have not embraced, followed close behind by certainty. Yes, love is the only generative certainty. And all other forms of certainty are only domination and hubris, masking fear and a desire for control. I have been harmed, I have caused harm. That makes me human. Focus on the love you have shared, not just the harm you have caused. Celebrate and soak in the gratitude and do your best to acknowledge and clean up the messes you make. Pay your debts and pay all the debts you can pay, even those you may not be responsible for. Acknowledgement, connection, an apology, and a smile don't cost anything. Some debts can never be repaid. If you owe a debt like this, spend each day of your life grateful for the opportunity to fail every day at repaying it. Reconnect you to your bigger self. Regret, self-hate, guilt only deepen the harm generated by your unconsciousness and disconnection, generated by your fear, thoughtlessness, or delusion, born from the harm and traumas that flowed into you. Whenever I forget any of this truth, please quickly, firmly, and gently remind me.
So I'm going to read this too. I want to say a tiny little bit about how this source came into my orbit before I read it. So it's by Taj James, who is involved in an organization called, I've just forgotten their name, Center for Movement Strategy, which is an American organization. And I, Lizzie, got super interested in this source because, as you know, we've talked about this a little bit, and I've got really interested in, I'm really interested these days in action. What does it take us to do stuff? Anyway, so this came to me from an amazing writer whose name I just want to mention to everyone, who's not the author of the piece. Her name is Rebecca Solnit. She's one of the most extraordinary writers I know about power and gender. And she's also an amazing writer about hope. And she's American. And she's been writing really extensively on Facebook about everything that's going on with Donald Trump and American politics. And it's sobering and inspiring all at the same time. So I really want to recommend her to everyone. You can check her out, Rebecca Solnit. And then I think Taj James is a good friend of hers, and that's where this piece comes from. Practicing radical self-responsibility. Notes to selves. I can only speak for myself. I can only change myself. There are some things about myself I cannot change. They are aspects of who I am. I need to learn to accept and love all aspects of who I am, and I am not who I think I am. I am everything and responsible for every little thing. I am. Intentions matter, and I am fully responsible for all of the impact I create. Without consciousness, there is no choice. Responsibility is complete. Whether actions or impacts flow from consciousness, from conscious or unconscious action or non-action, choosing unconsciousness, knowing it is a root source from which harm flows, has specific consequences. Cultivating consciousness requires healing, support, great courage, and spiritual discipline. Self-harm, isolation, shame, and regret perpetuate the cycles of harm and prevent healing, repair, and restoration. Dare to be free. Shame and silence are the most harmful forces in the multiverse. Harm flows from the shadows we have not embraced, followed close behind by certainty. Yes, love is the only generative certainty, and all other forms of certainty are only domination and hubris, masking fear and a desire for control. I have been harmed. I have caused harm. That makes me a human. Focus on the love you have shared, not just the harm you have caused. Celebrate and soak in the gratitude, and do your best to acknowledge and clean up messes you make. Pay your debts, and pay all the debts you can pay, even those you may not be responsible for. Acknowledgement, connection, an apology, and a smile don't cost anything. Some debts can never be repaid. If you owe a debt like this, spend each day of your life grateful for the opportunity to fail every day at repaying it. Reconnect you to your bigger self. Regret, self-hate, guilt only deepen the harm generated by your unconsciousness and disconnection, generated by your fear, thoughtlessness, or delusion, born from the harm and traumas that flowed into you. Whenever I forget any of this truth, please quickly, firmly, and gently remind me.
It's funny, it does feel like a quick, gentle, and firm reminder. I can feel the kind of I think as we're reading it, I think I'm feeling a bit guilty. Like, oh, this is really strict, and I think I've failed on all of this. And it's quite straightforward and quite you know, one of those kind of more hard pieces of compassion feels to me as I'm sitting here. Well, the impact it's having on me anyway, it's like, oh my goodness, this is quite a strict poem.
Yes.
And maybe a different part of the heart than I'm used to writing from.
There's this really powerful idea in many traditions that we need. I think it's grandmotherly kindness in Zen. Grandmotherly kindness. Unfortunately, the grandmother has like a ruler, you know, and goes, thwack, thwack. But I'm grateful for you saying it that way. And I think I feel the same, and I can also feel how this moves me to want to do things. And that I've read it quite a few times in preparation for today, but the line that really got me this time, that was surprising and kind of awakening for me, is harm flows from the shadows. We have an embrace followed closely behind by certainty, and then love is the only generative kind of certainty, and all other forms of certainty are only domination and hubris masking fear and a desire for control. So I really notice that in myself, that there's one of the ways that sometimes I get moved to action is because I got really certain about something, but it wasn't necessarily love. It was mostly I'm going to take action because that way I'll get even, or that way I'll deal with my shame and my feeling of being inferior, and somehow by taking action I'll feel big enough again. And right in the middle of this poem, actually, I think is something that's really loving. You said, Lizzie, it was loving but sort of strict. But right in the middle of it is the one place that we can rest as a source of our intention and action that we could really depend upon is love. And that the other kinds of certainty that we settle on are, compared to that, are illusions that lead us down the wrong path. And I'm feeling quite glad that he's prepared to say, all right, everybody, this is the score. Get to it.
Yeah, it definitely needs to be said. In the way that the world is at the moment as well, where things seem to be kind of falling apart in a kind of wild way, in the way I experience it anyway, if I read the news and feel into what's happening. And then there are these little shards of hope that come through, like the thing that allowed children not to be taken off their parents at the border in the States, and you know, the small graces that seem to be there as well. But that came from people doing this. You know, I think that came from people campaigning hard, raising money hard to get lawyers to represent these children and parents and the whole challenging the government and everything. And it reminds me of that whole, I think it's that saying, you know, bad things happen when good people do nothing. And this feels to me like a call to our, in the realm of your action, the passion that you're having for action at the moment, Justin, it's the realm of that, where doing something, but doing something out of the right place, where that discernment is often so hard, is really what the world is asking us to do, I think, at the moment. And most of us feel so relieved when we're given something to do, that we're not just standing by and letting everything go to ruin, but there's actually a place where we can take our part in things And I spend certainly a lot of time feeling concerned, but I also know I'm not at the front line and I'm not doing something that's right there that's helping. And so this kind of call to action is an interesting one because it asks something really deep of us, which is really, what are you going to do? Justin, your microphone's whacking against your shirt every time you nod. Going bang, 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 bang. So, yeah, I feel kind of, I think maybe part of the intention of the poem could be this that I'm feeling, which is like, come on, this is where things come from. This is what consciousness is. This is one of those things that has a purposeful straightness to it. That's not beating around the bush. And the principles in it, I experience as true. And I also felt very struck by the line about the shadow, and that which we turn away from becomes the way that we, you know, if we're acting out of the shadow, the world is perpetuated in that shadow. And the part that it says that where certainty is the other part of this, just how many times I know I thought I knew what something was or who something was or what they were up to. I think that's happening all the time. You know, I had a conversation yesterday about how harsh we can be on our parents because we think we know who they are. And really, we really don't. We don't know why they do the things that they do. I, you know, when I really look, I certainly don't. And yet I have a load of stories about that. And the gift of taking the story off and just seeing if I can see anew, afresh, the reality that's here now without my story. I mean, that in itself is like a life's work. And I think maybe that's part of the strictness of this poem for me, is like each line is a path. And sometimes it's overwhelming to feel like the whole kind of spiritual curriculum smacked, including spiritual discipline, which always freaks me out because you think, shit, you know, I don't think I'm very spiritually disciplined. How am I ever going to make a difference? So I think, and I also think he uses the word gentle in the purposeful way too. So it feels like it's strict and it's kind and it's gentle and it's firm all at the same time. And so, but it's some kind of like huge multitude of principles that takes us all. So what I don't want to do is to have this become like a superego poem. Right. Then the ways I'm failing, because I know I can interpret things like that, and I'm sure other people can as well. Which is like when our superego goes, oh, well, I'm just useless because I haven't done any of that. I'm not spiritually disciplined. I've got a massive shadow. I'm acting unconsciously. I'm certain about so many things. You know, I think that's true of most of us. We're going along as best we can and not being perfect, because this is quite a perfect poem about how to be in the world. And to acknowledge, it speaks about shame as well, and there's probably some shame around, oh, I'm not that and I'm not that and I should be. And so I think it does encompass it all. And I know for myself it's so easy for things to become part of my superego, like, oh no, this is a spiritual poem and it's got all these principles in it and I'm not sure I'm getting anywhere with any of them. And of course, that's my superego, because I'm sure I am getting some places with lots of those things too. So it's just interesting what that's, and I guess this is the spirit of this, is being straight about what it brings up in us. And actually, I'm realizing I can't say anything other than what gets brought up for me. Like I couldn't manifest to say something that wasn't what was happening, because that's the nature of these things we're doing. Is to be really honest about the effect things have on us.
Yes, that's, I was thinking this is the whole point of this project.
Exactly.
And this direction you're inviting us into, which is to notice what happens when we come up against something that is a sharp reminder of a kind of responsibility, how quickly what can come up is, well, I'll never be that, and I'll never do that, and I'm failing already. And I suspect that that's part of what Taj James is talking about with shame here, that this is our such a big like hole that swallows us up so easily and so quickly.
Mm.
Even when we're wanting to do something that really matters, we get caught up in our own shame and then I've vanished.
Yeah.
And maybe one way of coming at this is to take up what he says about certainty, and is to say all kinds of certainty are themselves a way of kind of propping ourselves up, even our certainty that we're so useless.
Mm.
And that a different certainty needs to underpin all of this, which is the certainty of love, which is the only place that any of this will come from. And it's really hard. I mean, I'm with you, Lizzie, how easily and how often I get, let alone stories about parents or siblings or teachers or colleagues or politicians or, you know, any of those kind of things, the stories that I have about myself, how certain they are.
Mm-hmm.
And very often how our shame stories and our superego, our inner critic stories, at least mine, I can see that there's a really perverse way in which what they do is the smaller I make myself feel, the more all right I can feel. Mm. With all the things I haven't yet done and all the ways I'm incomplete, because it can be, oh, well, at least I'm so useless. You know I know I'm so useless, it kind of explains why I'm not doing anything. Or
yeah.
So I have a little bit of a different response going on with me to this poem. It's really interesting hearing how strict you experience it as, and I'm experiencing it as hopeful. And I think one of the reasons I'm experiencing it as hopeful is right there, right near the end. And he says this, and I just think this is so brilliant. Some debts can never be repaid. When I stop there, I think, actually, most of the debts that I'm aware of in my life can never be repaid. There's like the debt from my parents and everything they did that I can't repay, and my grandparents and the people who came before them. And then there's the debt to all the people who built the society that we live in, that I've done nothing, I mean, compared to what's been built, that I've done nothing for. And I mean, I could just go on with like a vast list of debts that mm-hmm. I never have a chance of repaying. So then and that can also be a superego story, like I'm so small. And then he says this, which I think is really kind. If you owe a debt like this, and then I want to put in brackets, and we all do all the time, otherwise we wouldn't be here. Spend each day of your life grateful for the opportunity to fail every day at repaying it.
Mm.
When I come across that, so I'm feeling more and more called to action, and I don't know what the action yet here in this part of the world that we're talking about is exactly. It's not always clear to me in the way that when there's a sort of political crisis, like the separation of children from their parents at the border that's going on in the US that has mobilized so many people, sort of as a clarifying moment. But the thought that I might repay debts that I know I can't completely repay anyway, and that I'm going to fail every time, actually I'm finding an inspiring call to do small things
mm.
and quite possibly to do really big things.
Mm.
But it's helping me to give up exactly what you were talking about, which is this sense that somehow I meant to have it all together.
Mm.
Like most of the time, I really don't know what to do, actually. And mm. I don't always know how to find out what would be a helpful thing to do. But it's becoming more and more clear to me that the other kind of spiritual path that it's possible to be on, which is the one where we make ourselves feel better, isn't going to be the one that's called for. There may be times in history when that's a really good thing to do. We'll all feel lovely. You know, the purpose of all of my practices is to feel good about life. Yeah, that's wonderful. But it's inspiring me to really think hard about day by day action, and maybe even the really small ones, like how I greet people on the street and who I walk past and who I don't.
Mm.
How much of my time do I devote to stopping? Actually, this has really been on my mind recently. I was on my way to a dentist's appointment in London last week, and I got off the tube and I walked from, you know, one stop to where I was going. And there were so many people to pay attention to. There was a guy standing on the street with a sleeping bag wrapped around his shoulders, asking for money, and there were people who were in distress, and there were, and it's so easy just to walk past all of that. And I felt like I, you know, my dental appointment is in 10 minutes. I ought to walk past all that. And I think that that's in the territory that this poem is starting to call to for me, is even, even there, will I allow myself to be woken up out of my own shame and into my own hopefulness, and then act again and again and again and again? And what kind of culture, society would we make if we did that? And I think I don't often, because of the shame part, actually. I'm so small. There's nothing I could do. I'd feel awkward if I did this.
Yeah. And also what's arising for me is the part that's already here, interestingly. So I walk past lots of homeless people on the way into town every day, and most mornings people have a stack of healthy vegetables next to their bag that I see around Tottenham Court Road, and someone has and fruit as well, someone's piled bananas and apples and things into the end of their sleeping bag just under it. And when I see that, I think, whoa, like someone does that, and I haven't done that, but I feel like I feel hope when someone has done that. And when you say, you know, the small things, it's having me see, in the kind of opposition to my kind of feeling that someone's being strict with me, I'm appreciating myself and all the things that I do. And I think it's really worth us, one of the things that we can be certain about is that we're not doing anything. We're not doing enough. And to feel like we're in appreciation of the things that we do, as well as feeling a call to action, feels like part of what doesn't perpetuate the smallness and the hopelessness is to appreciate what's already here, and to look at what exists already, and to not find holes in everything to feel like it's all too big. So to try and walk in a way that feels the call and also acknowledges what's already happening, so that it feels doable. That it feels like there's hope in it. Somebody, yeah, I'm working with at the moment said to me the other day that I think you're my best reminder of spotting what's here already, rather than all the holes in everything I've done. And it really moved me to hear that there's a way that we're being in our coaching work, Justin, that people could feel into what kind of support that's possible for ourselves by self-appreciation and self-kindness. And I don't think that's making ourselves feel better or something. I think it's actually true. You know, I think it's like that there is, wherever we look, there's something going on that that even if we're certain that it's all messed up and horrible, there is also something to look for that's good, that shouldn't be I don't need to do anything then, but a kind of, oh, well, it's already happening. So if that woman can stack up apples and bananas under the sleeping bag, I can, or that man, whoever did it. So there's like those good things feeling like an invitation to it and a call to it as well. Because I think it's so possible to feel into the hopelessness. I mean, I certainly feel like hopelessness is a big thing. And if I feel it too much, too often, I don't do anything at all. So it's kind of feeling into, I think, our own structures and what helps us to take action and to be feel like we're responsible as well. And I remember early on in all my inquiry, I went and hung out in an ashram for a while in India, and one of our meditations was being a mother to the world. And if everybody was my child, how would I be? And how would I approach this if this was the person that wasn't on the inside of my heart, like a child would be? What action would I take then? And so we used to do these very long inquiries and long meditations and feel into the size of our hearts so that we could feel it wrapping around the whole world, and that anybody that came across our path, that was our responsibility. But it was very, it was meditative, which meant that it felt like it was filled with possibility and hope. And of course, then we have to see how we might deliver on that when we're actually out with the people and not just in a meditation with our eyes closed, imagining, but see what it's like then to walk out of the ashram and feel all the poverty around us and see how we might be with people, even people that we might be frightened that they might attack us or hurt us or take things from us or whatever it is. So I'm feeling that right now, just feeling like a turn of a more hopefulness from the call, and it being kind of matched by the gratitude and the seeing and the appreciation for what we are, for what you are, for what I am, for the things that we do in the world, which really, really matter, and which I think are lots in line actually with this poem and the way that we view being responsible and looking at our shadow and feeling like we do have a responsibility and that we're kind within it and we're gentle within it and we take one step at a time as well.
This point you're making about gratitude for our capacity, I think is so well made and so important. And it's part of the strictness. So I really want to turn into the strictness of this poem to welcome it. You know, the part that goes, there's stuff to do. We have responsibility. Let's get to it. Let's remind ourselves. Just as you're saying, the story about the fruit in the sleeping bags is really moving. And that move that we can make where we can go, we can recognize our own goodness and recognize goodness in one another and use that. You know, if I can stop for a minute and talk to someone who's sitting on the roadside without somewhere to sleep when I'm on my way somewhere else, even if that's the one thing that I do and it barely changes anything except to make some contact with someone else's life, but then I can really feel the goodness and the capacity that's in it, two things can happen. One is I can do it again. Three things can happen. Second is I can do something, I can do it again, and I can find my capacity to do something else. And the third thing is that by bringing in gratitude, my own capacity and my gratitude for your capacity, we can really get up to something together. Mm-hmm. And so it's possible to have gratitude and kindness to ourselves and one another. Just as you're saying, doesn't have to be it's all okay, we can just go to sleep because now we feel better. Actually, it can be the opposite, which is even in the darkest of times, it can be what makes it possible for us to do anything at all.
Yeah.
And anytime we leave it out, we're in trouble.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to read, just before we end, I'm going to read this line from the middle that's about what we are talking about, which I think is a wonderful reminder. Focus on the love you have shared, not just the harm you have caused. Celebrate and soak in the gratitude. And all the rest of it.
Yeah. That's really lovely.
We've been talking for about half an hour, Lizzie, and I'm really grateful to have been in this conversation, and grateful as always for everybody for joining us.
Mm.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for being here, and have a wonderful Sunday.
We'll see you next week.